spanning the Valley of the Sun and all across the 48th state. This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
Happy Thursday,
Happy Thursday, everybody. Well, I think the question that we've all wondered was finally answered yesterday. How did the zone in downtown Phoenix happen?
Well, it wasn't by accident.
It was not by accident. And there, that's the interesting part of this. So we spoke a little bit about this yesterday, but the Maricopa County Superior Court told Phoenix, you have until November 4th to clean the zone up. If you don't know what the zone is, it's in downtown Phoenix. It's several blocks of homeless people, and these aren't people that are down on their luck that have missed a paycheck or lost a home or had a big bill, you know, throw them into bankruptcy. What we're talking about is drugs, alcohol, mental illness. When you and I were down there, several crimes were happening right in front of our eyes. And so the question has been answered by the Maricopa County Superior Court. Phoenix created the zone. They did it on purpose, and then they maintained it.
Yeah.
Think about that. What the judge said was, quote, Phoenix created and maintained a public nuisance.
Created and
yes.
maintained.
Yes.
Think about that for a second.
Yes. Right?
God, it's so sad.
It's evil is what it is. It's evil. So you're telling me that somebody came up with an idea of this. Let's just let everybody sleep on the sidewalk in this particular part of Phoenix. Let's make sure the police...
There's always some services already down there.
That is true. Let's make sure the police aren't allowed down there, or we tell them don't go down there. And so what's going to happen? I don't know, a fetus is going to be burned.
A man is, or body's going to be burned. There's going to be murders, prostitutions,
yeah.
rapes,
right.
drugs,
right.
deaths.
Right, right, right. And it's not us saying this, although I said it. They did this.
Yeah.
Phoenix did this. It is a Maricopa County Superior Court judge that said Phoenix created and maintained a public nuisance, which is the zone. That is incredible. Because, like, if you look at, like, if you look at different parts of the country, you know, we know San Francisco is a mess, and Portland, Seattle, all that kind of stuff. I mean, did they create it?
They did.
Is it the same thing?
They created it, though, different. See, Phoenix wanted to maintain it in an area. California, Portland, Seattle, they created it through their laws. Hey, we're going to let everybody do whatever they want, whenever they want. We're not going to hold them accountable. We're not going to bust them for being drug addicts or committing petty crime, or we're not going to do any of those things. So through their actions mm-hmm. of through the law, they created it. Here, we created just an area where we're like, well, let's just contain them.
Yeah. We talked to Joe Falacci earlier today. So he was part of this lawsuit. He's a business owner in downtown Phoenix, Old Station Subs. And he was part of this lawsuit from 4 years ago. And now 4 years later, he gets a little bit of a victory here because we asked him earlier today, you know, you're right next to the zone.
The crime, the defecation, the urination, the drugs, the prostitution, the muscle, you know, the vulnerable being abused, it's sad. You know, it's sad. But, you know, guys, it's been 4 years. November 4th, it's been 4 years that we've been going through this.
Yeah, and that's Joe Falacci, and he sounds exasperated, but he sounds so tired. He sounds like
he's resigned to.
Right.
I don't think he believes that they're going to clean it up. I think
I
he's probably been let down so many times.
I don't know if I believe it.
I don't. I'd like to see it. Yeah, is there going to be an appeal? Are they going to try to take it up? I mean,
City
you know.
Of Phoenix been ordered to do it by November 4th. They wanted to. Phoenix wanted to wait till sometime next year in April or something.
They'll try to run the clock out. Any legal opportunity for them to run the clock out, they will.
Yeah. So just remember what the court said, because this is really important. Phoenix created the zone, and then they maintained it. And they allowed it to happen. They wanted it to happen. They allowed it to happen. They allowed it to settle. They allowed it to ruin business owners'
lives.
Lives, right. They allowed that.
And the thing that was interesting, when you listen to the interview, if you guys missed it, go check out the podcast. Very interesting. Talking about what a racket. He kept saying it was a racket.
Oh, I got that.
That to me is something I've talked about a lot. There is a homeless industrial complex where people are making a ton of money.
He called it a scam.
And he called it a scam and a racket. And I think that happens more than you realize in a lot of these places.
Yeah.
They're not interested because the money's big and they hand out all these stuff. They're not interested in fixing the problem. The problem is they got enough customers.
It's one thing to inherit the problem.
Yes.
They didn't do that. City of Phoenix did not inherit this. They made it. They created it.
And then they made it worse.
They did it on purpose. Hey, one of the other big stories around town. I know you weren't here for this yesterday. I'm fascinated by this story. There was a guy in Scottsdale that went on a date, okay? And the date apparently was going pretty good. We don't know where they met. But they had dinner, they had drinks, and then they decided, go back to my place. So the man takes the woman back to his place. And all of a sudden, it's 2 a.m, right? And the police are saying that multiple people forced entry into the home of the man. They took money, credit cards. They stole his car. They kidnapped him, took him to an ATM, and forced him to withdraw money. And what we were talking about yesterday is this was a guy on a date, and then this happens at 2 a.m. It doesn't line up right. So my thought was, well, the woman's involved. This was a scam.
Yeah.
Like it's
that
a woman.
Happens a lot.
It does. A woman and 3 men. And so, you know, we've got a little bit more information, but there's no mention of the woman. And I just can't believe, and I don't believe, that 3 men out of nowhere are just going to
just
break
kick it
in your house.
If you're a drug dealer and you got a house, I think it's, you know, you hear stories of them getting raided all the time by other drug dealers because they got cash. This doesn't sound like that. This sounds like it was a
abducted,
setup.
Right. It was a setup. Now, we don't know that to be the case.
Is there any news about her being injured or her being kidnapped?
No. No, he was hit over the head, and they probably did that, and they dragged him out. But let's see, there's a large pane of glass that was shattered at the back of the home. The incident remains under investigation, it all stems from a date.
Yeah, yeah. Dating in the modern world's a little tougher than people realize. At least he's got his kidneys.
You didn't wake up with that one?
Yeah, that'd have been awful.
Oh, my gosh.
How'd that go for you? Well, you know what? Other than that, how was the date?
Can you make an argument that the woman was not involved?
It's tough.
It is tough.
It's tough. I mean,
then it's just
if
random.
If you would have said that she, too, was kidnapped,
mm-hmm.
then that would have been a much different thing. But it don't sound it. I've read it. I don't see any of the, but like you talk about, nothing about the woman.
All right.
She's got to be suspect number one.
She's got to be. Let's do 5 Spot on this, okay? 5 Spot, where we ask you to call. We put you on the spot about a news story everybody's talking about. This man went on a date with a woman, and he thought it was going great until, and they went back to his place, and who knows what happened there, you know? But all of a sudden, this turned into the worst date of all time. So we're going to ask you to call 277-KTAR. And this is a first date. Tell us about your terrible first date. Let's also expand it. Just worst date ever, okay? 277-KTAR. Tell us why it was so bad. Hopefully you didn't get robbed. Hopefully you didn't miss a kidney the next day, like Chad said. But tell us what was the most terrible date you ever went on. What happened that made it so awful and you've never forgotten it until, you know, even to this day? 602-277-KTAR. 5 Spot with you next.
I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 Spot with Gatos and Chad. Brought to you by Parker and Sons, heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical. A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau.
All right, 5 Spot, we put you on the spot about a news story everybody's talking about. Scottsdale man goes out on a first date with a woman. Things are going well. They go back to his place. I don't know, maybe something happens. But at 2 a.m., the dude gets robbed by 3 men who broke into his house, dragged out of the house, and they take him to an ATM. And, you know, he's got his car. They stole his car. They stole a whole bunch of stuff. And Chad and I are like, the woman has to be involved. It's got to be a scam. So that's a pretty bad date. We're asking you, what's your worst date? What happened?
All right, here we go. Let's start with John in Peoria. All right, John, let us know. What's your worst date?
Saw a previous picture of the person I went on a date with. And when I saw her in person, she was nothing like the picture that she sent me. And I left and didn't stay there. Get us, you're dead to me.
Wow. You know, that happens a lot.
Oh, I had that.
Oh, did you?
She put her friend's picture up.
Oh, jeez.
She thought she was going to lure me in. And I was like, is your friend standing behind you?
Did he say I'm dead to him?
She, he did.
How dare him?
I know. Well, he was right. All right, let's go with Carlos and Tempe. What's your worst date?
Oh, guys, let me tell you. This woman was trying to tell me how to dress. She was telling me when to come home. She was telling me I cannot have any friends come over, period.
You shouldn't have married
her. She was telling me, oh, I never did. Are you kidding me? What the heck? She was telling me that on Fridays I have to take her out to dinner. She was telling me I could never have her cook. What kind of a woman is that?
I don't know. She's not the boss of you.
She's definitely not the boss.
Oh, no. No, you know what? I took her out to dinner. It was
come on.
All right, let's go with David and Mesa. All right, David, let's talk about this. What is the worst date you've ever been on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, it was about 30 years ago. I was taking a girl out for the first time ever. We went out to a nice dinner. Then we went to a movie. We were back. We were parked on the street, kissing. And she said, oh, excuse me for a second. And she got out of my car, and she pooped right there on some by some bushes. She didn't have toilet paper or anything. And I took her home right after that. I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, you took her home? You let her back in the car?
It was the worst. Oh, I couldn't believe it.
Hold on. What did you say to her when she got back in the car?
Not much.
Yeah. Not much.
Can I take you home now? I mean, I'm done. You know?
I would have locked the door, called her a cab.
Oh, my God. That is... Oh, I would have driven away.
Five spot. We're putting you on the spot about the story in Scottsdale. Man takes out a woman. They go back to his place. Maybe there's some business going on. And then three people break into his house and rob him blind. Ugh. And we're thinking the woman is involved. It's a pretty bad date.
Yeah, yeah.
Your worst date.
All right. Let's go with Steve in Santan Valley. Talk to us, Steve. Worst date.
Hey, actually, this wasn't a date, but I was in Reno, Nevada with a bunch of buddies. We're at the casino, and this gorgeous woman walks in, and we'll get an extra spot at our table, and she has to sit down. I'm like, okay, yeah, you can sit down. She kept buying me drinks all night. The guys all left, and I'm there by myself. And a couple times, other guys, she would go talk to other guys in the casino. Uh-huh. So I think this is kind of similar to what happened to that guy. And after a couple hours, whatever, I'm like, hey, I got to go. And she's like, all right, bye. So I get up and I leave the casino and I'm walking down the road and these two guys start following me.
Uh-oh.
So I start running and I run into another casino and then they left. But I'm pretty sure this is kind of like similar to what that guy experienced, where he was set
interesting.
Not where I thought you were going with that story, because I was waiting for
hold
you
to go. And it was, wait, you and I, let's do it together.
A dude.
Right?
Dude looks like a lady.
I thought he was going to say the girl was a dude.
Yeah.
So, all right, last one.
Joe and May says, all right, Joe, tell us.
Worst date.
Well, first of all, this Scottsdale situation sounds like a Lifetime movie.
Yeah,
right. Does.
But met a girl online. She lived in Vegas, and I flew from Phoenix to Vegas. She was an hour and a half late for the date, and when I called to ask her where she was, she said, if you want to rush me, I won't come at all.
Oh,
So needless to say, that was a one and done.
Oh, you never met her?
No, I met her. She finally came, but attitude when she got there was trash.
Oh,
so
no.
That's the worst.
Nope,
and you flew out to see her.
That's terrible. You know what's interesting is, thanks everybody for their calls, we didn't get one female that called in. You know what that means?
Guys are amazing.
We're awesome. Right, no, Becky Lynn? No. This is all, it's the women who are crazy going on a date.
I was wondering about that myself, and yeah. I just thought, we're just too kind.
No, you know what it is?
You said you were 6 foot.
Right, you said you're 6 foot and you're 5 foot eight. You said you were fit and you're fat. You said you had hair and you don't. Right?
Like you said you had teeth and you didn't. Occasionally, yeah.
Well, at least someone wasn't leaving your car and defecating on the sidewalk.
My God.
That's awful. That's a bad date. All right, coming up next.
Memories.
cartels are telling migrants, cross the border in Arizona. Don't do it anywhere else. Cross in Arizona. Why? We'll tell you next.
This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
Let's go down that road that Becky Lynn just went down with the breaking news. President Biden in town when? Next week? For a speech?
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday?
Mm-hmm. It's going to come here and talk about democracy, talk about the border is closed.
Pay tribute to John McCain. Oh, that's that another part of it.
John McCain's been gone a long time. He's been here before. Why didn't he do it before?
Mm.
Like, is it a whole election thing? I want the John McCain voters.
Oh, it's got to be.
Maybe.
Yeah. That's a little late.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. Those two were friends. I remember John McCain telling me in studio years ago that in the 90s, he and Joe Biden used to have lunch together, right? You had a Republican and a Democrat, and they would have lunch together in the 90s. And people from Biden's side and people from McCain's side started telling them, you guys can't be seen eating lunch together.
Yeah.
And I remember McCain telling me that. And that's when it all started, you know.
It really started. Because who was the other guy that ran for vice president at one time who also was good friends with McCain? And I've talked to several. I talked to, you know, several politicians. And they'll tell me stories. They'll be on the elevator with another politician from the other side. And they'll get off. And they're like, why are you getting off here? And they'll be like, well,
can't be seen
I can't
you.
Be seen. You know, I can't be seen with you or something. And so it's not even your floor kind of thing.
It goes back to the old example of Ronald Reagan and the Speaker of
Tip
the
O'Neil.
House having a drink after the day.
Yeah.
Right.
From 9 to 5, we are enemies. We fight it out. At 5 o'clock, we're friends.
Right. And nobody does that anymore. And it's been that way since
social media really exacerbated it.
But the 90s, too, it's been that way. Since the 90s, I'll go with what John McCain told me. It started that way in the 90s. I mean, Joe Biden and John McCain can't have lunch together because they shouldn't be seen sitting next to each other. And if you want to know why politics are so polarizing now and they just tick everybody off, it's because there was that big change in the 90s where people went to their camp. And it started to become, what'd you call it? Tribalism?
Tribalism.
Yeah.
You know, it did. It started with, you know, Clinton and you know, Limbaugh and...
But Clinton and Newt Gingrich...
They got along. They learned to get along.
They didn't like each other.
No, they didn't.
Although they're both philanderers.
But Clinton was a guy that understood politics, retail politics in particular,
they
so well.
Together.
They could. They could work together.
Right.
Because Clinton's whole thing is I want to do this for America. And then you had the contract with America with Newt Gingrich. They may not have liked each other, but they knew that they needed each other.
Again, that was in the 90s.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen it since.
We're probably not going to see it for a while.
I don't think we will either. So President Biden headed to Arizona. I just got to tell you, I mean, Arizona should just be furious with the man. Seriously. The border, you know, we continue to talk about it. You know, some of the new numbers are out. 20,000 migrants came over just last weekend.
Last weekend. Like 230,000 last month.
Jeez, 230,000. 10,000 migrants were at the border yesterday. And so, you know, these are numbers that just keep breaking records. And, you know, when you have a problem that's this big and there's such a spotlight on it, and then Biden ignores it, just ignores it and doesn't do anything. And it's like, you know,
you've got Mayorkas. I'm not going to give him a pass on this. The border is secure. And let's not forget Congress for decades.
Right.
Has ignored the problem. Both sides have had a chance. And I know there was several years ago. I think McCain was involved in that. They all tried to get some sort of immigration bill passed. But here's the thing. Until we have started enforcing these things, it doesn't matter. Because, wait, you're supposed to have the app. People showing up with no app. And they're just like, come on in.
Right. Yeah. It's true. You can't show up at a port of entry anymore. You've got to get on the app that the government put out, and you've got to have an appointment. And that appointment apparently allows you in to the United States. And people are showing up without the app, without the appointment. And, you know, we were talking also cartels are they're pushing people to cross in Arizona. Don't cross elsewhere. I'll tell you, it's hard to cross in Texas now because they've got that concertine wire everywhere.
Yeah.
And they've got it to the point where
they're still breaking records.
True. But in certain places, you can't break through it. You cannot get through it.
Down through the Rio Grande and stuff in certain areas. They're making it as hard as it possibly can be.
Right. And people are getting on trains. What is it? They call it the Beast. It's in Mexico and it comes towards the border. And people are jumping on it, jumping off of it. People losing limbs, people losing their lives. And, you know, if Joe Biden wanted to do just something, if he wanted to show like, hey, there's a human aspect to this.
Absolutely.
There are hundreds of people. And going on the thousands that are dying, hundreds of people are dying every month. And the Border Patrol, they're seeing all this stuff. And Joe Biden's just, he's opened the border. I mean, it's really
clear.
And
now with the 500,000 Venezuelans getting their pass to stay here, work here legally, right. You just open it even more. But he said on that night in the first or second debate where he's like, well, I'm going to pathway to citizenship and it's going to start within the first 100 days I'm here. And I said, can't vote for you, brother.
Yeah.
Sorry, not going to happen.
Well, he's kept that promise.
He has kept. And
unfortunately.
He's spread it out and continues to do so.
All right. Coming up next, your gas is just the prices are crazy. We're talking 20 cents up in the last week. Is California to blame? Next.
Drive home with the Gatos and Chad Show.
All right. Let's check the Gatos Big Q poll question of the day. It's brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. KTAR.com, right side of the page. The Arizona State Fair opens this Friday.
They had food here today.
They did. They brought some food.
And I had some funnel cake.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. You can't ever eat funnel cake with powdered sugar and not look like you're just straight out of a movie like Sicario or Scarface.
What foods are you most excited to eat? A, the Chubbs Smash Burger. B, hot Cheeto and cheese chicken on a stick.
Oh, my God. No wonder the rest of the world hates us.
How about this one? Fruit roll-up frozen grapes on a stick.
Nah.
Or deep fried Oreo ice cream sandwich. That's the number one answer by far.
I did
far.
The smashy burger thing.
You did or will?
I will. I'm going to go out.
You are?
Yeah. You kidding? You can't be a little white trash like me and not go to a fair.
There you go. All right. Go and vote. KTAR.com. The Gatos Big Q. So, you know, I know that a lot of you are hurting because you're trying to pay for your gasoline. Once again, we have to blame California. They've got some refinery problems, and now we're paying almost $5 a gallon for the regular stuff.
So we have that going for us.
I think it's $4.96 right now.
Yeah.
It's outrageous. This has happened from time to time throughout the last couple of years. We talked to Patrick DeHaan, who runs Gas Buddy, and one of the questions we asked is like, okay, we got all these refineries that are having issues. When they have issues, our gas prices in Arizona skyrocket. What would it look like if we built one here? Here's what he said.
It'd probably be a multi-billion-dollar construction project. Where would you put it? Probably as close to the New Mexico line as you could, just because West Texas isn't too far away, and that's where some of the crude oil comes in from, or a lot of the crude oil. Heck, one of the benchmarks, West Texas Intermediate crude oil. So an oil company would want to have to build it. Arizona would have to allow it, which probably wouldn't happen. Look at all the pollution we have in the valley already. We have special blends of fuel. So, you know, even if they did build it, it'd be probably a 5 to 7 year project. So, probably a $3 to $5 billion project, depending how big it is.
I don't know what else to do. See, I'm not saying that this is the easiest thing to do. I don't know if it'll ever happen. But if we continue to rely on California for our gas prices, I mean, it's going to be a few years. We're going to pay $6 a gallon.
Yeah, it's good.
It's going to get worse.
We're headed there.
So, I mean, but I don't know if it's a good idea. I don't know enough about it. I don't know how to build a refinery. Well, I don't know what goes into
it. My thing is, anymore, until we get regulations that aren't insane, getting to this position where we're feel comfortable enough to try something, because he brought up the fact that you go look at the Keystone Pipeline. One president and his administration says it's okay. Then the next one comes in and he kills it. So you're halfway through building something or putting it out there with the regulations the way they are. They're, you know, the Democrats want to push us towards electric and green. We're not set up for that. Fossil fuels are so much more than just driving. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you think inflation is bad now, imagine if it went through the roof. And we're not set up for any of the electric stuff.
Yeah, what do you mean? There's nowhere to charge up.
There's no grid that can handle everybody having an electric car right now. Well, we'd build that. How? Because the electric grids we're going to build are going to be just as environmentally unfriendly and take a ton to do it. So then what?
Well, we have less gas. We have less refineries in the United States than ever. I think we have 100. I think he was telling us we have 120, and that's it. That's it.
For a nation that lives in their cars.
Right. Right. A little more from Patrick DeHaan.
We only have about 120 refineries in this nation.
Wow.
And as a result of, you know, it's been the survival of the fittest. The biggest refineries have been left behind. They're still operating. But when they go down now, it's much more problematic because the average size has gone up significantly.
Yeah, people want to know why, you know, why are we paying so much in gas? Because we're relying on California. They don't know how to run their state.
Texas.
We're relying on Saudi Arabia. They don't want to help us.
No.
I mean, this is just a mess.
It's a mess. And it's not going to get any better anytime soon. And we're going to have to accept the fact that, you know, this, you know, he even said, well, maybe by the end of the year, we could see 350. We got a long way to go. And that's a maybe, because Saudi Arabia could throw in more of a wrench into this thing as we move towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
And we have no more, by the way. There's no more strategic reserves. Shot that shot.
Yeah. Government loves that our gas prices are high.
Oh, they do, because they want to push us towards
an electric car.
Get inside the light rail and an electric car.
No, thank you. I mean, I'm not. I'd look at an electric car, but I don't know if I want to buy that now. All right. 5 o'clock, KTAR News Expansion. Becky Lynn coming up in just a minute.